Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, third hour, coming alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Studio Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Sun's starting to set here in New York City. We are coast to coast, as always. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, 206. Now, what are you doing with the dog on stage tonight? What do you have?
Yeah, tonight, it's interesting.
As if your life isn't, not difficult, but if you juggle it enough, they're throwing what into the act on Broadway tonight?
So tonight, after we do, we're having Steve Lapis, our CBS Sports Network college basketball analyst.
Oh, I saw out at the St. John's game the other night. He was doing it. Yeah, he was doing the St. John's Butler game on the tube, talking to Stevie for a little bit.
Yep, so today, we are having the Westminster Dog Show. A winner of Best in Show, who's King, who's a fox terrier, I believe.
Okay.
A wire fox terrier.
That's...
will be joining us on stage at the Al Hirschfeld Theater.
Yeah.
Kinky Boots. And so I have to leave a segment early because we have to rehearse how to integrate this dog.
Oh, I hope he takes a leak on the stage.
To our show. he's a cute dog, though.
I'm sure.
Cute dog.
Ugh.
That's cute. That's a terrier. You got like terriers.
That's a weird looking dog. That's like the dog from the old movie, the invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh yeah,
like the one of the last scenes.
Yeah, you're right.
Can you see that dog again?
Yeah.
Certainly, not in the business of disparaging the looks of dogs here. But
he won Best in Show, or he won Best in
That's
Show.
That's a weird looking dog.
King, King right. will be on stage with us tonight. My sister's coming tonight. My half sister.
Wow, you got a busy night.
Yeah, she's flying in from Oklahoma.
I love it. Cool. I love it. That's good. She's with her husband or friends?
I think she's coming with her husband.
Nice. So we're coming on Thursday.
Next Thursday.
We're coming. Yeah, we're coming a week from tonight. And my wife and
party night for you, BT and the gals.
Yeah, BT and the gals. My wife and three of her crazy Texas friends, and they're all wearing red heel boots.
I love it.
They're already putting their orders in, you know. So it's going to be a good time. Samter went the other night. Mike, how was it? Was he good? How did Tiki do?
Samter went with his wife. His girl, his girl's parents.
Ooh.
And Freudian slip, and his parents, who I met for the first time. We never met the Samters.
And we got to go backstage, and they were like, I mean, in a different world. It's really cool to get backstage.
Yeah.
He had to wake up.
I mean, if he got backstage, I might be in the play.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
It'd be with the dog. It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. So, like, you know, you go into seeing a performance, and you have a friend who's on stage, and you're always in your head. You're like, okay, well, like, really hope they do well. You're kind of like looking through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
Tiki was awesome. Like he really was
surprised.
Like really good.
It's because I'm somebody that I'm not.
His singing voice was better than I thought. His choreography was good. Mm-hmm. And when it came to like acting, you know, I talk about this all the time. When you're like on TV or in movies, it's all very like subtle facial expressions and eye raises. And
how do you know?
Well, because the cameras right on your face. But on Broadway, and I have friends who do stage acting and everything. My brother does a lot of that stuff as well. You have to have these very exaggerated facial expressions to sell it to some guy who's sitting in the back row so they can see what you're doing.
Okay.
And Tiki sold it. And it was actually really good.
You'll enjoy it.
I say this kind of with a grain of salt. I went in there hoping he'd be good. He was a lot better than I thought he'd be.
All right, Tiki.
Appreciate you, Sam.
It's winding down the run. Two and a half weeks. Are you going to miss it?
I am going to miss it a little bit, but I won't miss the lack of sleep that I get.
Yeah, you've been grinding for a while, man. It's been awesome.
So have you, though, relatively speaking.
Yeah, but it's all good. I hear you.
That's what we do.
That's right. Listen, when you stop grinding, you kind of stop living.
You're right.
It while you can, man.
Right.
I think it's
awesome. I'll be in Arizona playing golf when I stop wanting to grind.
Exactly. All right, let me read this. Let's get back to what we started the show with here.
Yeah.
He hasn't – and by the way, I don't know that I believe him. Adam Silver was – you know, inspired to respond to an account, a report, that he hasn't given any thought to inquiries by the NFL owners, all right? So he didn't confirm that he's been approached by the NFL owners, but sources close to, this is an ESPN item, said that several NFL owners have tried to persuade Silver to run the league over the course of the next couple of years. His contract goes through 2023, I want to say, Adam Silver. Here's my question. There's no doubt that Adam Silver is smart and has good instincts and seems to mesh with the, you know, the globalization business model. He's been very forward with that, you know, really grabbing the baton, I should say, from David Stern. He's been good there. But my question is, he's so player friendly. He's incredibly pro player.
Yes.
Why would the owners want that in the NFL? They want the exact opposite.
They do want the exact opposite because they know if the NFL becomes player friendly, that is more guaranteed contracts, more empowerment of players to go where they want to go, like it is in the National Football League, it'll be, you know, the Wild West, probably even worse. Because think about how emotions affect locker rooms. I mean, we can talk about this all week with Antonio Brown. Think about how emotions affect locker rooms. And even when we talked to Jameis Winston down at the Super Bowl, he's talking about how it's the family, when you have like a cohesive family, even if it's, you know, some bad things that happen there, you can at least have conversations. Like, that's the only way that you can win. Think about how disrupted this gets in the NFL every year.
53 guys, too.
Exactly.
It's not like it's 12
like
or 15
you hear
in
this
the NBA.
All the time. Now, if these guys now all of a sudden, you know, can control where they're going to be or demand trades and it becomes like public knowledge and, you know, it's trade deadline, this has got to happen. I don't know how you win. I don't know how you keep a stable team, right? And so Adam Silver would have to be
something that he's not.
Exactly.
And which is why I don't think it's a good fit for Adam Silver from his point of view. And I don't think, unless Adam Silver wants to do a radical change in terms of how he's going to be commissioner, I don't think he's a good fit for the NFL.
Yeah, he might not be. The only reason the one thing about Adam Silver that I think would make him a great NFL commissioner is that he's so, like, transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, that would be welcome.
He speaks with clarity.
Yeah.
Right? There's no, like, obfuscation. There's no, like, I'm trying to throw the wool over your eyes and point you over here, even though this is happening, you know, on this side. He just tells it like it is.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, he knows the consumer, or in some cases, the media, is not dumb. You know what I mean? They're not going to just accept what you say. Oh, okay. Okay, sure. Because you say so, I'm going to believe that. Right?
Yeah.
So he just tells it, he tells it straight to you. And sometimes Roger Goodell seems like he's dancing around an issue just to not get at it directly. And that's frustrating, right? Because you know he's smart enough to, he knows the answer.
He's a lawyer. He can wiggle his way out of, you know, position it favorably and really not answer the question while pretending to answer
the
question.
And he's lawyering us.
He's very good at that.
And that's frustrating.
And yeah.
That is the one thing that I think it would be very welcome in the National Football League.
I agree. When this first came up, Tiki and I started the show with this, and I just want to reset these numbers, and then I have something different I want to branch into. One of the reasons why I think Adele's job is just infinitely tougher is that, you know, just based on the sheer numbers of it, the NFL has 32 teams, 53 players on a roster. You have the five practice squad players, roughly 1,700 players in the NFL. In the NBA, two fewer teams. There's 30. There's only 15 regular spots on the roster. So you have a little less than 500 players on the average. I know there's some fluctuations, G League, two-way contracts. We'll keep the numbers somewhat simple. 1,700 versus 500. And I don't know that there's any real data to prove this, although I'm sure we can look at the evidence and probably piece things together. I think the other thing that makes Goodell's job tough, the violent nature of the NFL and the inability for some to turn off that switch when they go home.
You're right.
I mean, when was the last time? I'm not saying it's never happened.
No, it does.
But when was the last time we saw an NBA player was, you know, on TMZ for, you know, really aggressively beating a woman?
I'm sure that it's happened.
Not as much as it happens in the NFL.
It doesn't get reported, or
no, it's definitely not that.
Or
it's not that.
It's because it's easier to control. You know?
No,
what I mean?
I don't think it's that either. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know.
But
I don't think you could hide anything in the year 2019. If there's a player, and there's a potential to get clicks and monetize those clicks, said website is going to publish it.
No, I agree with you.
They're going to put it on blast. They're not hiding anything.
But so, I mean, it's hard to assume that just doesn't happen in the NBA.
Well, then the only other assumption, I know what you mean. It almost seems like you have to be very naive to believe that, because every locker room is really a reflection of society.
Yeah, because it happens.
Straight,
it's happened in
gay,
baseball.
Catholic, atheist, Jewish,
absolutely.
You know, violent, passive, yep. Republican, Democrat. I get that.
It's happened in baseball, too, though.
Oh, yeah, right? absolutely it's happened
couple,
in baseball.
A couple of very high-profile yeah. Cases over the
I
last
know.
Couple of years.
I know.
Addison Russell is going through it
the
right
ace.
Now.
Yeah.
And so there's...
I mean, well, former ace prospect,
yeah.
The Cubs.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. But I don't think it's... Well... That's a tough question to answer. You almost really hesitate to theorize. I don't know. But I just have to think that the NBA, I have to think the only logical leap that I can make here, because in 2019 we know almost everything.
We would know.
That their players just aren't doing what some of the players in the NFL are doing.
Yeah, and Major League Baseball as well. Yeah, you're
and
right.
And Major League Baseball as well, to be fair.
That's the logical conclusion. I just don't see how it's possible.
And it's amazing, the 180. You know, when David Stern first implemented the dress code, this is a big problem. You know, Allen Iverson, that was kind of the start of it. He wanted more of a boardroom presentation. This is before guys took great pride in how they yeah. dressed with the suits and everything.
I was going to say, but it probably led to that.
To how they wound up dressing now?
Yes. Think about that, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was don't come in shorts or, you know, looking unprofessional.
You wanted to get rid of do-rags.
Yeah, you trying
to get rid of
get
the urban.
All that stuff. And guys were like, all right. Well, as it evolved,
uh-huh.
you know, from what AI and how he used to come to games to, you know, they have these own unique styles that are professional.
Yes.
They're quirky. But
yes.
But it's like, it's professional.
No, there's no doubt. Well, even me, I haven't worn shoes to do Tops, which is
yeah.
on CBS Sports
yeah.
Network in 3 years.
Like dress shoes.
I wear sneakers.
You wear sneakers.
Sneakers
right.
with my you know, blazers or suits.
I mean, hell, that's a lot of guys do that.
Now imagine if you have a limitless budget. I mean, you know, like these guys do. If you're making $30, $40 million, $20, $10, whatever you make it a year. So I bring that up because it is interesting. You talk about I'm going to go back even before that, the Bird magic. One of the things that was, you know, so pivotal for their, as they entered the league together in 1979, a multitude of reasons, but white, black, West Coast, East Coast, Lakers, Celtics, charter teams, champions. You knew them in college. They played in the championship. Like, it was just, again, serendipitous. I'll use that word.
Yeah.
But the time that they came, the NBA was viewed as and there's articles. This I'm not trying to talk out of turn. It was viewed as too black for the mm-hmm. for the white consumer. They wanted no part of it. Sponsors. Yeah. I mean, just do a Google search. It's out there. It's. It was a real problem. I mean, there were 8,000 people at the Garden. Even the Garden,
yeah.
people didn't go.
Yeah.
Mike, can you look this up? I want to make sure I don't get this wrong. This was before I was reading the newspapers for sure. But I am almost positive, and Mike, definitely look this up and let's get this right, that in one of the New York papers, I don't know if it was the Post or the News, instead of the New York Knickerbockers, which is their moniker,
yeah.
they actually printed... The New York,
wow.
Use the
N-word.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I say all this because it
Think
is interesting.
That.
The culture of the NBA was the one
what
that was
year?
Viewed.
This was in the 90s?
70s.
70.
No,
oh, 70.
I wasn't reading the paper. Like I'm talking like
oh,
I think it was like
76. This is when you were a baby.
It was either an article in a New York magazine or a New York. It was definitely there.
Yeah.
And they had a picture of the team.
Yeah, that was back when you could get away with those things.
You could get away with that in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
In a newspaper?
Think about Blazing Saddles.
Or
in
an article?
Ever seen Blazing Saddles?
But that's a movie. That's different.
I agree.
The comedy or different
but
genre.
But it crossed over.
I mean, no,
think,
I understand
think about,
that.
Think about Saturday Night Live.
You know what I mean? Richard Pryor?
Richard Pryor.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. That's with Chevy Chase and Richard
Chevy
Pryor.
Chase
that
and
scene
Richard,
when they went back
exactly,
and forth.
Exactly. So you can mean...
Comedy's always...
You're right.
It's disarming, especially if the person who was on the receiving end of that heinous word is playing along for the segment of the show.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying it's easier necessarily to digest as public, but it's different than a white writer writing an article
yes.
or a headline writer. Mike, have you found anything with that? You really haven't found it? That absolutely, I don't know the outlet, but it absolutely happened. I'll do a little digging during the break. And the only reason I say all this is because the NBA was the league that was too drug-riddled,
mm-hmm.
too black, too violent, too dangerous to invest any sort of money in. And now the NBA has...
Yeah, it's
the NBA is an amazing place.
Yeah.
And we, you know, finish up the conversation. The commissionership's here. What would Silver do if he ever took over for Roger Goodell? And the NFL's the one that has a few more black guys than the NBA.
You're right.
But is that because there's more players? Because you have to be violent and wired to play a sport to survive? I don't know. These are all very interesting, you know, common denominators of the equation. But and it's all part of the conversation. So, all right. I'm going to find that for you during the break. I'm going to look. I'm going to try to really dig that up because that was incredible. 1970, whatever. I'm going to say 70. I'm going to say 76, but I really want to find that. All right, let's get a break. Steve Lapis, CBS Sports Network college basketball analyst. He will join us next. And how about this? I think it's a good time for the college basketball. See, we know who the great teams are, but which teams are thought to be elite but have a little vulnerability that maybe Steve has discovered but we have not yet discovered? Let's dig a little deep into the college scene with Coach Lapis coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you want something at the best price available, what do? Do you just pay it without looking elsewhere? Then you're out and about, see it for less, and you're full of regret. Who has time for regrets? Don't throw your money away and pay top dollar when O'Reilly Auto Parts guarantees to give you the everyday low price on the parts you need. It's just common sense, right? Why pay more when you don't have to? If you can find what you want and pay less for it, it gives you more buying power. And O'Reilly Auto Parts wants you to be empowered by the purchases you make. Stand up and get your match. From tools, batteries, cleaning supplies, and lighting to wipers, tires, safety equipment, ATV accessories, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store's price on any like item. So don't be shy and don't hesitate to ask for your match. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at guaranteed low prices. No regrets and no haggling necessary. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day.
Oh, my God. I love this music. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. And it is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. All right. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. And we did find something. It was 1979 pertaining to what Teek and I were just talking about.
Yeah.
The way the Knicks were referred into by certain publications.
Mm-hmm.
So I was off on the year. I said 76, 77. It was right around 79, but it did happen. All right, Teek, let's do a little college hoops. And gentleman knows his way around the bench. Coached at Manhattan. Coached at Villanova. Coached at UMass. And he's part of the crew here at CBS Sports Network. I bumped into him in Queens the other night, St. John's and Butler. He was doing the game. Coach Lapis. Steve, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing today?
Doing awesome. Now, I just ran through your three schools, all Northeast based, but you obviously are well piped in. You're connected all across the country. Maybe you could help us answer the question. This came up about 2 weeks ago, and we still haven't gotten an answer that that satisfies our curiosity here. What in the world has happened to the Pac-12? I know that all leagues are cyclical. Like, the Big East is obviously down this year. That just happens. But the Pac-12 is an abomination. What's going on?
You know, first of all, you have to start here. If Arizona and UCLA, let's start there. If they're going to be – and Oregon, okay? So they've been kind of the three strongest teams in that league. They're all down this year. So if those three are all down – then the league's going to be down because who are you going to rely on? Okay, yeah. Washington's the best team in the league. You're going to rely on Arizona State? I mean, it's amazing. Oregon State and Utah are in second and third place in the league. You're right. The league has been horrible this year. If those three programs are down, you're going to have a problem. And those three programs really, in the last couple of years, have lost a lot of guys to the NBA. And so that's and they have not been able to restock like a lot of these other teams have in the East and keep it going. And I think that's been a big problem.
Yeah, okay. No, it's interesting when you position it that way. Is it a recruiting thing, though? You know, I know we're in the one-and-done era now, and so you got to, like, I mean, you got to be hitting the trail hard to get these guys every single year. It's not like you get a kid and you got them for 2 or 3 years. I mean, you got to do it every single year. Is that part of it?
Oh, there's no question. But, I mean, you got to look at this. You know, Dana Altman at Oregon, who's been a great recruiter the last few years, he lost his kid Bol Bol early in the
year.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
right.
They were projecting as a top-5 pick. Then, you know, UCLA got a great class. And they haven't played as well as everybody, as the hype said they were going to play. So Steve Alford gets fired. And Arizona, they've got the best class in the country coming in next year. They weren't able to restock this year. So it definitely it always boils down to recruiting, guys. Yeah. Let me tell you this. When a league is down, what does that mean? The players aren't as good. The recruiting has not been as good. But they have taken some hits in the league that they didn't expect.
That makes sense. And for those of you who are wondering, you hear Bol Bol. Yep, that is Manute Bol's son. Mm-hmm. Manute Bol passed away, but that's Manute's son there. So Coach Lapis with us here, CBS Sports Network analyst, longtime coach. Villanova, where he's really made his national name, Manhattan. And UMass was the final spot, and he's an analyst with us here on the show.
All right, Steve, my Cavaliers have beaten everybody except for Duke. They can't find a way to beat what I think is one of the best, not the best team in college basketball right now. Is this the best team that Coach K has had, especially athletically? Because they are spectacular at times.
In this era, the best team that he's had was the one that won the championship a few years ago that had Tyus Jones and Okafor and Winslow and those guys.
Stop. Time out. Stop. You're telling me, Coach, with all due respect.
Can I finish?
Yeah,
they're better than Hurley and Leitner and Grant Hill?
He said this era.
No. I said this era.
Gotcha.
No. This era. Sure. You know, we can't – it's like when I talk to Jay Wright, okay, Jay Wright's won two championships in the last 3 years. You know what he told me?
What?
Your team in 95 would have beaten both these teams.
Oh, interesting.
And you know what I mean? So it was a different era. It was a different era. So you can't even go by that. In those days, guys were staying 4 years. I had Kerry Kittles 4 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Kerry Kittles, a first-team All-American as a senior. He's not. I don't care how good a freshman is. That guy's not getting the best of him, you know what I mean, for the most part. So, yes, in this year. So Brandon, you won't even let me finish.
I know. I got worked up. Because we were debating that yesterday. I'm sorry, Coach. Go ahead, buddy.
In this era that we are in, that's been Coach K's best because they won the championship. Now, this may end up being his best team ever, but they haven't won it yet. But what I will say is this. It is definitely the most talented team he's had because he's got the first two picks in the draft are probably on Duke, and Cam Reddish is probably a top 10 pick, and Trey Jones is probably a first-round pick. So this could very well be the most talented team that he's had in this era. So, and you know, Tiki, I know it's your Cavaliers are terrific.
Yeah.
But for Duke to go and score 81 points there against them, I was like, I can't believe it. Now, granted, they shot from the three-point line like they haven't shot all year.
62%, man. 62%. I mean, what the heck is that?
No, and they shot 30% all year.
Exactly.
But they did it against a great defensive team, so you got to give them credit. That was a very impressive game. I don't think they're going to shoot like that ever again, but this team is very impressive. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, they struggled against Louisville in the next game and almost, I mean, they had to come back and win that one. At the stretch. So you're right. They won't shoot 60% every game. And maybe in the tournament, Virginia will get them. Let me jump over to the Big 12 real quick because Kansas has an interesting problem, I guess. They've won 14 consecutive conference titles. That's in jeopardy right now. But there's also this lingering NCAA investigation that's hanging around the corner. Is Kansas in trouble here?
Oh, that little thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're in trouble in terms of winning their 15th consecutive Big 12 title. That I can tell you. I mean, I think that there's Kansas State, Texas Tech, Iowa State are all breathing down their necks. Now, one thing about Bill Self, this guy manages to find his way around and get it done in the end. I think this year, being two down in the loss column this late to Kansas State, who has a veteran team. That's why Kansas State is really – they've got everybody back from the team last year that went to the Elite Eight. And Texas Tech has – even though they don't have as many guys back, they're great defensively. I just think somebody is going to stop the streak here. As far as the investigation goes, you know, I mean, it's hard to say what's going to happen with that. Everything is not out. But I know from a coaching standpoint, you know Bill Self, he's going to fight till the end.
Oh, Bill Self is a beast, there's no doubt. And, you know, talking to Coach Steve Lapis – our coach, part of the crew here, CBS Sports Network analyst. You know, something else came up. This is probably about 2 weeks ago. Teek and I were debating which is the second best conference in America. Obviously, everybody co-signed the statement that the ACC is number one. And I did with really no hesitation. I said, well, it's got to be the Big Ten. You know, Michigan's tremendous. Then they lose at Penn State, which is not a basketball power at all, in Happy Valley. Michigan State has had a few mystifying performances. Nebraska is incredibly down after last year. I mean, is the Big Ten still solidly the second best conference in America, or you're not sure?
Well, I'm not sure, and especially what happened, like you said, Michigan losing to Penn State. That's got to take you, and then that's got to take you back a little bit. And then Michigan State went through there. They lose Josh Langford. They lose three in a row. Now they come back the other day and they win a good game at Wisconsin. But, you know, think about this. I think when you think about the who has teams that could win it all, I think the SEC has two teams. Now, I'm not saying the SEC is as good as the Big Ten or better, but I know they have two teams that I would not be surprised to win the title, and that's Tennessee and Kentucky. Those two teams are national championship-worthy teams. And I'm thinking right now that in the Big Ten, especially what happened in Michigan the other night at Penn State, I'm thinking Michigan State really is the only chance. Now, Purdue's playing great, no doubt about it. And Maryland's been a little bit of a surprise during the season. Wisconsin's terrific. Nobody talks about Ethan Happ. But I think that the SEC has two teams that can win the national title, and I don't think the Big Ten has two like that.
You know, it's interesting, Steve, and I like that you really pointed out Tennessee. It's easy to, you know, look at Kentucky and say kind of tell us who they are, where they are.
Everything.
The pedigree. We're so conditioned, you know, especially the fringe fans who kind of jump into the season now or in a couple of weeks when the conference tournaments start up, and then, of course, the big dance filling out brackets. We're so conditioned to react to brands. Mm-hmm. And when you think of the Tennessee basketball brand, you know, I think Bernard King. I think the Bernie and Ernie show, you know, seeing the 30 for 30 on those guys. Allen Houston, you know, and a couple other pieces sprinkled in here. So you're saying that Tennessee is fully legit?
No question about it. And, you know, you're right, Brandon, because here's the thing about Tennessee. Like about 7-8 years ago when Bruce Pearl went to the Elite Eight with Tennessee, I couldn't believe this when they said it was the first time in the history of Tennessee they ever went to an Elite Eight.
Wow.
So, I mean, and I remember Bernie and Ernie. I played against Ernie Grunfeld in high school. He was a year younger than me, but we played Forest Hills High School.
Forest Hills,
That team very well. But I can tell you this Tennessee team is really legit. It's old-fashioned basketball. They have a tremendous post player in Grant Williams who just knows how. You watch this guy, any kid out there who wants to learn how to post up, just watch this kid, how he pivots, reverse pivots, how he uses his body. They're a tremendous passing team.
Yeah.
They got another star on the perimeter named Admiral Schofield.
We have him on the show tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know what it is? It's an old team, and they know how to play old-fashioned basketball. They have a good balance of throw it inside and make three-point shots. This is a really, really good team.
Yeah, no, it's just this interesting dichotomy that we have in college basketball with teams like Duke now and like Kentucky historically has been that are doing one-and-done and trying to push into this championship realm. As BT mentioned, Tennessee, and we have Admiral Schofield on tomorrow, and we'll talk about, you know, how this team is so veteran. Another team, we talked to the head coach earlier this week, Eric Musselman with Nevada. They're also veteran, but the transfer market is interesting. And we know they had that bad loss early to New Mexico. They avenged that with a blowout win in New Mexico just a couple days ago. But are they legit? I mean, simply because of how veteran they are out in Nevada.
Not only are they veteran, but they're old.
Yeah.
They're not just seniors. We're talking about fifth-year seniors. They might be the oldest team in the country.
They have to be.
The Martin twins are like 23, 24 years old. Jordan Caroline is 23 years old. So these guys are not only good, but and you know how it is. I mean, Tiki, you were a big-time athlete your whole life. If you're a man and you're playing against a kid, it's a whole different deal, even if the kid's got talent.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean?
You're right.
And so in this case, they're old, they're experienced. The thing I question about, and they have three stars, and what makes them so good is when you have three guys that can create off the dribble at the end of the shot clock. Let's face it. You go to the NCAA tournament, everybody's scouting, everybody's stopping your set plays. So it comes down to there's 6 seconds on the shot clock. Who can get something done? Well, they got three guys that can get something done at the end of the shot clock off the dribble, and that's always a valuable thing to have.
Steve Lapis, good stuff, Coach. Yeah. Obviously, Manhattan over UMass. I didn't mean to jump on you early. I got excited. I thought we had a good old-fashioned debate.
You thought you had me.
I thought I had you. I tried to jump on you, but I should know better. You're a coach, and the coach's instincts always win out. Hey, I'll see you down the road. Hopefully, my Johnnies are dancing. St. John's will dance this year, right?
Yeah, they'll dance.
Good.
You know what? They just got to hold serve at home, and I'm not saying beat Villanova, but hold serve with the rest of the games, and they're fine.
Steve Lapis, CBS Sports Network colleague, and of course an analyst. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Be good, Coach.
Pleasure. I think he's out of Marshall, Mike. He's out of Marshall doing some stuff for the network. There you go.
Yeah, you know it's interesting, BT. Yeah. He's talked about Villanova. It felt like they were having an off year. They were still in the top 15 right now.
Yeah,
he's stabilized. I don't know if he's turned it.
He's a great coach.
They're 13-5 right now. Yeah. Or no, wait.
They just lost to Marquette.
19-5 and 13th. Yes, they did.
They lost to Marquette.
A 13th in the country. I thought they were going to fall.
So did I.
Like fully out.
I mean, they lost four players to the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Villanova is not Kentucky. Yeah. I mean, even though they win championships, you could say that you could actually say Kentucky's not Villanova. if you want to be fair to the pecking order of championships recently.
True.
Jay's got two in the last 3 years here. But for a school like Villanova, a smaller Catholic school, no football budget, great academics, to lose four kids to the league and to still be legitimately top 15 with a chance to go to easily second weekend. Yeah. I mean, Jay Wright's great. We all know that, though.
You get to do any of those games if they
win? Yeah, I'll do every one they do.
I love it.
Yeah. Last time they went, we played at we were out in Charlotte, and they played San Diego State. And kid got popped. He failed the drug test. The big man. Remember that?
Yeah.
So whatever St. John's goes, I'll be doing the show from the road.
Nice.
I can't wait, man. Imagine if we play you guys. I don't want to. I want to hang around for a while. All right, let's get the update for Ack. And we've got the blast coming up. Let's get Ack's update coming at you right now. Here he is. All right, the PGA Tour on CBS wraps up its West Coast swing at beautiful Riviera Country Club, coming off a great win at Pebble. Number five at Pebble, Phil Lefty joins the world's best, including Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, who's not playing very well. I don't know what happened to Jordan Spieth. Justin Thomas, his buddy, defending champ Bubba Watson, Bubba, and, of course, Tiger Woods. Tiger's going to be out there. It's the Genesis Open this weekend on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and, of course, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. So the Genesis, real quick before we get to the blast, was all sorts of wacky, really tough conditions out there. Pacific Palisades, California. They only really played a couple of holes, and I thought I saw that they reset some of the scores, so you can't really make much of this here, whatever this means. Scott Stallings is atop the board at minus three. That pretty much means nothing after two holes, but it's a great field. We'll see what Tiger has. I mean, you know, listen, I know we keep hanging on to these aging, decaying icons. That's what being a sports fan is kind of all about, you know? As much as Tom Brady's my adversary, I actually do want to see him retire. He's different. But it's special to see a player just continue to go and play and just, you know, chat, especially in golf, where you can play if your back is straight and you're okay. You can get into your 50s, you could play. So Tiger Woods, I think he has a big year. I've said that. I was ahead of the curve a year ago. I told you all winter, Tiger Woods is going to be good. Once I saw the ball speed and the swing speed metrics and he played a little bit, I said, okay, this is not the same Tiger Woods who kind of crawled back to the tee box prematurely. He looked right, and I will see. But anyway, this is a great event, and Phil's hot, and you got all the other big names on tour, so... All right, Tiki had a bounce a little bit early. What was the dog's name again? Did he ever say the dog's name? He didn't say the dog's name. Did you actually see a picture of King? Did you see a picture of the dog?
Yes. That is a pristine animal right there.
You think that's a pretty... You think that's a good-looking dog?
Listen, what a good-looking dog is compared to what an award-winning dog is...
He's got a rectangle snout. It's like a cartoon.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's not about, like... the fun, playful dog you want to play around with. It's about like what?
No, I understand
the physical,
the grooming. Of course, I get that.
Yeah,
I get that.
There's more to it.
I know that. It's not just here's a bone go and roll over. It's pretty elaborate.
That'd be a lot more fun though. It's like roll over, see what kind of tricks they can do.
You think they're doing PEDs? Like how do they cheat at the Westminster Dog Show? Everybody cheats somehow in every walk of life. So how do the owners and the breeders cheat? Do they? Do they? They have to submit urine samples? Seriously.
I mean, I don't know if steroids really actually comes into play, but...
Well, in terms of attentiveness or alertness, maybe not steroids, but maybe something that's like an Adderall type... Adderall for dogs.
A specific type of food that they use?
No, Adderall for dogs. Hmm. It just kind of, you know, increases the intensity.
Sure.
Now you're not feeling me. Let's get to the blast. Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with
right.
Tiki and Tierney.
Mikey's going to read them. Go ahead, Michael.
All right, my big debut right here.
Ooh.
Harden extends his scoring streak, 31
deal.
In a row.
So what?
Rockets lose again.
Yep.
And D'Antoni calls out the team's effort.
Mm-hmm.
Says there wasn't enough, quote, fire.
Mm.
Do you think it would be better for the Rockets if Harden's streak just ended so they can not focus on it?
I think it would be better for the Rockets if they modified how they play. And as a byproduct of that, if that happens to end James Harden's streak, then the answer is yes. The reason why you know, Mike D'Antoni wasn't happy about the efforts because you got James Harden playing 40 minutes a night unnecessarily. When are they going to learn? What is he going to learn, really? And as a coach, you're not going to win anything in January. You're not going to win anything in February. But you know what? You can't lose it in February. Like they always say, you can't win a major. I just talked about golf before. You can't win a major on Thursday, but you can't lose. If you shoot a 78, you're going home. I mean, that's it. You're done. If you shoot a 67, you haven't won anything yet. And if you just burn too many minutes early in the NBA season like the Rockets seemingly do, you will not be there in June.
Especially if his shoulder's hurting him.
Or you're banged up.
Yeah. So the Red Sox are going to have a rotating announcer booth with up to 10 people serving as analysts for games, including Chris Berman.
Oh, back.
Do you think this is a fun idea, or would you rather just have one guy in the booth doing the games?
I think is it a fun idea? It's an interesting idea. I don't know if it's going to be fun for the viewers because I don't know if everybody's going to be good. So it's not fun if you're not good. Now, the Yankees kind of have a revolving, and I watch the Mets too, obviously, being local. You know, I check it on the Mets on SNY. But, you know, with K, you've got the combination could be Flaherty, could be Coney, could be Paul O'Neill, could be Kenny Singleton, who I like a lot. Al Leiter hops in on occasion. He's buddies with K. That doesn't bother me, but there's too many. The list is all over the map. It's not just former players. It's just an odd combination of different people to construct their roster. So I'll give it a chance, but I don't love the concept. I like to know exactly who's going to be in the booth.
Mets star pitcher Jacob DeGrom is not ruling out a, quote, self-imposed innings limit if he doesn't get an extension before the season starts.
Okay.
Do you think a pitcher really could implement an innings limit? What are you going to do, tell the manager, hey, 7 innings, no hit,
well,
I'm going to leave the game right now?
You know, it's funny. He could try, but then I would believe there'd be legal recourse in terms of insubordination. You're literally not pitching when I tell you to pitch. As long as you're medically cleared. And you're not throwing somebody out there who's got a frayed rotator cuff where their UCL joint is hanging by a thread, then, you know, they're deemed healthy. That quite literally could be defined as player insubordination, which you are allowed to find from a team point of view. So it should never get to this point. You never want to have unnecessary, you know, contentious moments or feelings. Jacob DeGrom is great. He's a reliable young man in terms of personality. Would you just pay him? Just get the. And by the way, I actually think I'm going to give the Mets a little credit. I know he says he won't push this past opening day. I believe that they do settle on a long-term deal before opening day. I actually believe the Mets will finally do the right thing.
Especially since his GM is his former agent.
Yeah, well, that could actually work the other way. That's where the acrimony is caught. I don't like that setup.
Now, number four, sticking with baseball, the Indians reportedly tried, quote, character assassination in arbitration hearings with Trevor Bauer, using his public comments against him.
Mm-hmm.
Is this fair, or is this a little bit out of bounds?
You know, I think it's actually fair because everything that Trevor Bauer writes on his social media account is public domain, much like the back of his baseball card or baseballreference.com. What was Trevor Bauer's stats last year or 3 years ago? What was his whip over the past 3 years combined? They like to do increments there to get a broader sample. Let me see. Baseballreference.com, Bauer. Oh, look, there's Bauer's stats. Huh, how does Trevor Bauer comport himself on social media? Let me see. Let me go to Twitter. TrevorBauer. He says some things we don't like. Behind those doors, they get bloody. Arbitration is a hellacious, hellacious process. I believe it is fair. If you put something out there, that's part of your character and it's part of you. It's reaching deep into the bag of tricks, but I think it's fair game, sure.
All right, last one, the continuing saga of Matt Kuchar.
Cooch, just wake up, Cooch. Just pay the guy. Go ahead.
Well, maybe the update might change your opinion. It has for certain people. He says that he and his caddy, David Ortiz, agreed before
Elgato.
The tournament.
El Gato is his nickname.
There you go.
Remember
El Gato. Kuchar's nickname?
No, his caddy.
I know.
Yeah.
But they apparently agreed before the tournament at $3,000 with escalators up to $4,000. And after he won, Kuchar gave him $5,000.
Kuch.
So does the fact that they made a pre-tournament agreement change your opinion of the story?
No. Matt Kuchar looks so incredibly cheap and so incredibly detached from the reality of the real world. And I expect a lot more from Matt Kuchar. I like Cooch. Cooch is a good person. He's a very good player. But what he's doing is just utterly unfair. And by the way, he's showing no awareness. Check this out. This is a quote from Cooch. This looks terrible, and it sounds worse. I certainly don't lose any sleep over this. This is something that I'm quite happy with, and I was really happy for him to have a great week and make a good sum of money. Making $5,000 is a great week when you usually make $200 a round. End quote. Dude, you sound lost. Yeah, I mean, that's just utterly unacceptable. If I'm like Cooch's agent, I think I just cut the check for him just to end the PR. Hey, listen, El Gato, here's $100,000. Just go make yourself small and disappear. Kuchar looks like an idiot right here. He he's a good guy. He's got to change this. This is a bad narrative. Bad narrative. Oh, no time for the ending there? Ran a little long, huh? D-Cell, have a good Valentine's night with your love. Samantha, you do the same. Davey, you got anybody? Got anybody waiting? Or Dan. That's good. We all do. Hey, have a great night, and we will catch you tomorrow. Tiki's back with me. Bye-bye. Peace. Gotta go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.